Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Virus cases top 200,000 in a day. And, of course, we're going into that dark period right before the light, we hope, anyway. The president decided he needed to talk about the election and flush out the reason why he claims that the election system is under coordinated assault and siege, and took 46 minutes to explain that, because we really haven't heard from the president. In the meantime, he's raised $170 million plus for what is believed to be his next campaign for the office that he now still holds in 2024, and in the politics of the day, as the stimulus turns, so much conversation for the past 4 or 5 months on a second stimulus after the first one went through almost lickety-split when we were all still in shock. Now there's talk of a bipartisan $908 billion relief proposal that could actually be where the jumping point off is. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for joining me. Kate Delaney here on the show. 24/7 calorie free. You can reach out to the show and touch us simply by shooting me an email at kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Kate@katedelaneyradio.com. We have kind of our unofficial poll, because it still is about the mask world that we live in. Mask on, mask off in the United States. So much of that is being left up to counties and to the governors, etc., of states, and it looks like it may stay that way even when the administration switches. But what do you think? And again, you can weigh in. A lot of people are doing that. I'll give you some of those results coming up, but you can do that by going to that same address I said, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Like Tim, who says, it is up to the states. Kate, I like states' rights, and it depends on what's happening in each area. So I think it's smart to leave it up to the governors and leave it up to the counties to sort out what is best, and also individual businesses. I think whatever happens with business and the ways to keep it open is so vital in the United States, but elsewhere. And you've had people on who have talked about what's happened in the UK and what's happened in Australia because of the lockdowns economically. So we know that there has to be some sort of give and take. And again, that was just somebody weighing in on our unofficial mask poll again. We did one in the very beginning of the pandemic, and now things have certainly changed, and we're doing another one. Let's go to Grimm in the great state of Mississippi. Hello, Grimm.
I don't know, with all this C-19 around me, I don't know if it's that great. But I could be in the worst place. Imagine India. Of course, the news, they suppress so much nowadays, you don't know what's going on in the world. But that guy that wants to leave it to the governors and the counties, no, it's left up to us to tell the governor what to do and the counties what to do.
Well, I think it should be power to, I do think it should be power to the people, and that's why it's so important to express the way you feel, because the more people who speak up and speak out, the better I think governing is.
Well, he was right about, you know, the states should, you know, have more power. I mean, that's the way the Constitution was written, is the states have power over the federal government. Federal government was just created to maintain the union. I mean, we can still succeed because it's in the Constitution. But I don't know what good that would do nowadays.
I don't think it would do any good right now. Yeah.
Could you imagine the tax a truck driver would have to pay from state line to state line to state line?
Oh, be insanity.
Not like we ain't got enough headaches.
It's true.
I tell you, I'm glad to see Trump still fighting, at least. I mean, because, yeah, there's, Kate, I can't remember since when, growing up even as a 5-6-year-old, not hearing about how corrupt and graft the elections have always been. I mean, back in my dad's day, he said you couldn't trust a pastor or anything because he'd get you drunk on a Friday and you'd have to come to church to pay on a Sunday, you know?
But, I would have liked him, I have a feeling.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he grew up in them hills, you know, where moonshine was very prevalent, and he even in his day admitted that he did some running. So, and he said that was just one way to keep you in church.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
But yeah, funny. It is, you know. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not really changed. Nothing's really new. To be honest, it's pretty much run the same way. It's just that we got more numbers, more people. I mean, I've been watching this Indian special here on RT, and about, you know, prostitution over there.
And yeah.
I'm just sitting there thinking, because I know what the population is like. This C-19 has to be just dropping like flies.
Well, you know, global cases, if you took everyone, which would mean the United States, it's over 41 million, right? Deaths,
yeah.
It's almost 1.5 million. And then if you looked at the breakdown, it's interesting when you say India. India is right behind the United States with deaths at 138,600, you know, 686, something like that. And they have lots of confirmed cases, you know, 9.5 million. So you're right. The population, given what you're seeing with the, you know, the prostitution, et cetera. And yeah, the numbers are huge, and the numbers are big in Brazil right after that. I mean, they were the top three.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they got bad enough problems with just normal diseases.
Yeah.
Because of their population, you know. I mean, they're stacking. Well, if there was a mudslide behind all them resorts, the resorts would collapse.
Yeah.
just from the human bodies that would be coming down the hill. But,
yeah, they have a population of 1.38 billion.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
This is what really puzzles me, because I know for a fact that that's what a lot of these upper-class politicians and even the DOD has tried to do, is lower the human population rate. That was proven in Vietnam, that the young black man was sent there to, you know, to lower the population in the ghettos. It took, you know, the act of Congress to release the paperwork, but they thought it would work, and it didn't. It just brought more drugs into the ghettos and made it worse. It is ridiculous what we do.
I like how you said that. What a note to end on. It is ridiculous what we do. Grim, you sound a lot better. Keep fighting the good fight. Thanks for the call. And, yeah, there have been a lot of conspiracy theories and theories about population and population explosion, etc. And you think about that for a second, that India population, 1.38 billion, and you compare it to the United States, 328.24 million, to give you some perspective there. And, of course, China would be right up there with India, too. Stay with us.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wrap should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
This is sponsored by Amazon. This holiday season, Amazon is delivering smiles to charities across the country with the help of celebrity partners Gabrielle Union and Ali Raisman. And it's easy for customers to join them in giving back. Kate Scarpa, Amazon spokesperson.
We're proud to support charities that have been impacted by the challenges of this year. And customers can also join us in giving back by shopping through Amazon Smile. By starting at smile.amazon.com, customers can find incredible holiday deals, low prices, and convenient shopping, with the added bonus that Amazon will donate a portion of their purchase price directly to the charity of their choice at no cost to them.
Customers can also donate items to charities directly at smile.amazon.com/charity lists, where nonprofits create wish lists of the items needed most. Additionally, shoppers can donate to Toys for Tots by saying, "Alexa, donate to Toys for Tots," or make a monetary donation to a charity of their choice by saying, "Alexa, I want to make a donation." Learn more and give back this season at smile.amazon.com.
Yes, once again, the mailbag is overflowing thanks to all of you. Woohoo! And this first one is from Jake, who listens to us in Austin. And Jake says, "Hey, Kate Delaney, I hope you and yours are doing well. It was a very strange Thanksgiving for me, and it is somewhat lonely because I have a big family, and of course we are all not getting together in the interest of being together for the next holiday season. I will be glad when all of this crud and crap is over with. So my deal this time around is, did you hear the story about our mayor telling us all to just stay the hell home? Yep, stressing that we're seeing a COVID spike, and that to be at outdoor gatherings is not advisable, and the more you can wear your mask and stay away, the better. You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I was reading a story about the mayor and about him telling people to stay home. And I think this is what you were getting to, but you just didn't get to it. It looks like you kind of sort of finished your thoughts, by the way, Jake. And maybe you weren't getting in this direction, the stay the hell home thing, because the Austin mayor was saying that. But when he was saying that, he was vacationing in Cabo. Hey, I'm in Mexico in gorgeous Cabo San Lucas, but I'm just telling all of you to please stay home. Yes. And he was there. He was on it. He took a private plane to Cabo. He vacationed for a week at a family timeshare. And he also had an outdoor wedding and a reception with about 20 guests. So you could say, all right, 20 guests for his daughter at a hotel near downtown in Austin. So I don't know. Steve Adler, what are you telling us? And bottom line, please, please do not gather. And in fact, the city was telling people not to gather in groups of more than 10. And, warning about, we got to drive the numbers down. But he himself was not in that situation. It reminds me of Gavin Newsom, same thing, who was at a private event. And he was telling everybody in California how they were going to have this curfew and the things that were going to happen. But then he was out there. They got to realize we live in the age of social media, and it's very easy to figure out when you say one thing and it might sound good, it might be right, but then you're doing another, and that doesn't resonate well, especially in a position of mayor or a governor, I think, and when you're holding these pressers and then it pops up on social media that, oh, that's right, you boarded that private plane and you went to Cabo, and yeah, I understand. This one is from Larry, and Larry says, Kate, well-deserved LeBron James, whatever you think of his politics, there's no question he is a stud on the basketball court. He just signed an $85 million deal. Lakers, what do you make of that? Well, you said it. I mean, look, he comes to the Lakers, and yes, it is bizarre pandemic times, but he is the king on the court and led them to that championship, and of course, he's reaping the rewards of it, and that's what that's about. So he's going to get a contract like that. But for him, with all the other monies he makes, and it is great money, but that's just another blip in what is his treasure chest of the money he makes for various other things that he does in relationship to basketball. And the Lakers want to continue to see winning seasons, and especially because they didn't make the kind of money that they would normally make because they played in the bubble. So sports teams lost money. They didn't have the fans that you'd normally have packing a stadium or an arena, especially when you're in the playoffs, because that's that extra money that you make on those playoff seats. All right, let's move to another one. I love that we're all over the map, by the way, this time around. How about this? Let's move to this one from JoJo, who is in Tucson, Arizona. Kate, I listen to you all the time on KVOI. I love the big shout-outs that you give to Tucson. Can't wait till everything lifts, and I hope you come here and people can meet you. I know that you have a fondness for Arizona. My family is split when it comes to Republicans and Democrats, so needless to say, the Democrats are, because the astronaut flipped things in a different color-coded direction, if you know what I mean, by being sworn in. That changes things in Arizona, and it's surprising because it's one of those states, my home state, that was such a Republican stronghold, and I believe it still is a Republican stronghold, although, like I said, the colors have changed. Yeah, from red to blue. And he was sworn in on Wednesday as a U.S. senator. So now he can add that. Politician, astronaut, engineer, retired Navy captain, married to Gabrielle Giffords in the tragedy of her being shot. And he wins. And so there he is representing Arizona, and I think it'll be interesting. He does say, and he does narrow, by the way, the Republican Senate majority. That's why those Georgia races are so big. But he does say that the intent is to work with everybody, and that he's somebody who wants to do that. And his representation of Arizona. And, you know, I think he may surprise a few people who maybe have some doubts and others who absolutely love him. I have not spoken to Mark Kelly, but I had the chance to meet and speak with his brother. Such an interesting family. I mean, it's like, it makes me think of, you know, where you have two astronauts in one family. It makes me think of families who have particularly off-the-chart skills in some area, and that family has an off-the-chart skill set in that area, that you would have two astronauts from the same family, I think is pretty rare. Pretty rare. All right, moving along to this one. This one is from Mac, and Mac gets the last word. Kate, thank God, finally there's a vaccine. I have some friends who are anti-vaxxers. I have other friends who can't wait to get the vaccine. And I say, if the trials say it's a go, 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 we watch what see what happens as it gets rolled out. And hopefully it makes the difference that kills that SOB that has killed our business, our spirits, and just so much of what we thought was going to happen rolling into a new decade. We can get a redo and bounce back, because America is, if not anything, it is definitely resilient, and Americans are resilient. Yeah, on that note, I agree. Americans are resilient, and I think our brothers and sisters, frankly, around the globe are resilient too, and I do feel like we are all in the middle of this together. And I love that they're reaching out. People are reaching out from all different corners of the world. Hey, coming up on the show, we have David Adamson, who is going to join us to talk about his book that's really interesting in the sense that he talks about losing impacts of losing a baby passing away, in his book Hellish, and what he then went through and how he circled back on the other side, and how he says that losing this baby influenced him in writing this book, in fact, told him to write the book. And losing the baby, you know, within the very beginnings of birth and the kind of toll that takes on your life. And also we're going to talk to Mark Savard. And normally Mark Savard would be one of the busiest people in Las Vegas. He's a comedy hypnotist, and his hypnosis has been described as mind-blowing. And he does hypnosis training. And, you know, that's something, I've never been hypnotized, but people talk about the effects of hypnotism. And I think it'd be interesting to be hypnotized and see what that feels like. So hang with us, David and Mark, coming up here on the show.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
In a surprise statement released Wednesday night on his social media channels, President Donald Trump once again laid out his case for a massive voter fraud effort, causing him to lose the presidential election, specifically criticizing mail-in voting.
It is important to know the problems with mail-in balloting. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Nevada, Georgia, Arizona, and most other states allowed anyone to get an absentee ballot and cast their vote without showing any ID. The voting took place entirely on the honor system. No identification of any kind was required.
The president also accused Dominion Voting Systems, a company that makes voting machines and voting software, of changing votes for him to votes for former Vice President Joe Biden. The 46-minute statement was released on the president's Facebook and Twitter accounts. This is USA Radio News. The mayor of Austin, Texas, is apologizing after it was discovered that he urged the citizens of his city to stay home to reduce the spread of coronavirus while he was on vacation in Mexico.
The thrust of the most important messages trying to get out to the community right now is that our numbers are increasing, and everybody has to be aware of that, and we need to, you know, stay home if you can. Do everything you can to try to keep the numbers down. This is not the time to relax.
That's Mayor Steven Adler in a Facebook video posted last month. The mayor posted it from Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Adler says that he didn't violate any of his own or Texas Governor Greg Abbott's orders by traveling. However, in a Wednesday statement, Adler admits he set a bad example while urging people to curb their travel. He's the latest in a line of officials across the country caught violating coronavirus restrictions that they have either advocated for or put in place themselves. This is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day. But supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Right now to talk to David Adamson, and he's written a book called Hellish. David, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Yes. Good morning, Kate.
Talk about the book. Let's just dive right into it. What is Hellish about?
So Hellish is a story that sort of came out of me in a series of flashbacks. I was able to draw on what happened to me in my past. It was the traumatic things that had happened allowed me to be able to somehow gain strength from what I believed was my son who passed away years ago came back to me and told me to write a story. When I was younger, I was dating a lady and she became pregnant. There was a period of time during the pregnancy where she did some hard drugs. The hard drugs were what took the baby. So when he was born, he lived 15 hours, and I spent that time with him in the ICU. During that time in the ICU, I believe that he told me a story. So at the time, I couldn't handle the story. I couldn't handle losing my son. And I went down a bad road of what I call a slippery slope of drugs and alcohol. I eventually decided that I didn't want to end up that way, so I went through a long process of personal detoxing. Eventually, I got well, and I worked throughout, kept a job, stayed single throughout at that period, and then eventually met someone and got married. Years went by. More traumatic things went on in my life, and eventually my wife and I separated. So I ended the marriage. It was over 30 years we were married. It was very traumatic to leave. It was probably the hardest thing that I ever done in my life. We had three children that we had adopted during the marriage, and the last number of years I was just staying because of the children. At the time of the separation, my son who passed away, he came back to me and told me to write the story now. You have the life experience, write the story. So what I was drawing on was like spiritual contact and emotions and experiences that I had in my life allowed me to be able to then just start to write things. It started out as like poems. I wrote a couple of poems, a series of small phrases, and then it just started to flow. The story comprised of demons and spirits and angels moving in their realm and their experiences and their time. So if you can imagine, this was almost like counseling, is exactly the way it was put to me. The ability to be able to just start to write a story from beginning to end that deals totally with the spiritual world. There's a little bit of contact with humanity in the beginning and in the middle and in the end of the book. But I believe the one thing that moved me to write was my son. The fact that I was not doing well personally because of all the problems I had, that contact that I had with him allowed me to not like overreact in the situation that I was in. So I was able to continue trying to parent my children. I was able to continue to work, continue to enjoy my life, even though my personal life was totally a wreck. I believe we all need that spiritual contact. I've always thought that. I hope that a lot of people who read the book are challenged to their religion or whether they have a religion and why they don't have a religion. It's not meant to change people's minds. It's not meant to, you know, have people think, well, I should be atheist or I shouldn't be religious if they are or aren't already. What it is just a chance for people to go somewhere else, maybe go on a ride, a trip, whatever you want to call it, and allow yourself the ability to be free for a while from the world's problem. Also, if it does challenge you to check into or check on your religion, or maybe check out of a religion, if it does challenge you to do these things, then it's moved you. And that's what all literature is it's just an argument. And it poses an argument for someone to be able to look at, read, analyze, and try to figure out if it means something to them or if it's just a story. And I hope people do understand that it is just a story. Personally, for me, it's been more than just a story. It's been a change or a transition that took place in my life. And I'm sort of stuck there, Kate.
No. What you're saying is fascinating. So, you know, this is about your life experience. And yes. And wow, and you not what happened, you know, decades and decades ago with your son, carrying that around, living a life, then coming out with, as we all do, other experiences, other hurts, things that happen. And I wonder for you, this had to be like uplifting. It sounds funny to say that, and cathartic maybe, to put all this together and put it on paper and actually get it out there in the world. Was it?
Oh, yes. It was very uplifting. One thing that I know was something that I dreamt about, something that I talked about, something that I was almost felt like sometimes I was writing it so clearly that it almost felt like it was real. But what it did was it allowed me to just get everything out. Like, normally a lot of people when they're going through a divorce are very angry and they get upset. And I was, but the reason why I adopted those children was because I wanted to raise children. And, you know, when I had lost my son all those years ago, I knew I had missed him and I missed the chance to raise him. So I didn't want to be angry and become angry at my children or angry at others. I wanted to be able to be strong and get through things. So the story itself did provide me with a strength, and it was very uplifting and allowed me to feel like I was accomplishing something. Also, a lot of what's in the book is from a negative point of view, so it probably allowed me to get a lot of my anger out in the book. Then I wouldn't be struggling with my children or how to get along with them in this new reality where we didn't have a home life anymore.
Yeah. Did it also, because of the loss of your son, the shock of that, went the mother, the things that were happening to her, did it give you some sort of peace, I guess, with that connection?
I think so. There was a real period of time there while I was writing. I remember sitting at the table and writing, and it felt like he was pointing out things from time to time. There would be things in the dictionary that I was literally studying the dictionary so I could understand the language clearer and deeper. Also, I was studying an atlas, and it seemed like he was pointing out things and helping me to go along. It would be like I would ask myself a question, like I would get to a certain point in the book, and I would ask myself a question, how can I write out of this? Is this a changing point? Is this leading up to a mistake that's going on in the story? Or what's actually happening here? And it would seem like there was always an answer. I wanted to say that at one point, not too far into the book, I call it the first fight scene. I got to this point where it seemed as though something was going to happen with the characters. And like, I don't want to give the story away, but so I wanted to write something very moving. So what happened was the characters end up having to die. But they're already dead, right? So this is the thing. We're talking about spirits and angels and demons. So, but they needed to be dead on their side as well. And then they needed to be brought back to life. So this becomes like a death and rebirth thing. This is something that we all talk about. It's very universal. And I was struggling with a way to write this. So it came to me that what I should be doing is I should be studying a song by ZZ Top. As strange as that may sound, I couldn't figure out why I would be studying a song by ZZ Top, and it was I'm a Fool for Yourself Stalking. And there was nothing in the lines of that song that had anything to do with the book or me or what was happening. So I started studying the band. Early in their career, ZZ Top was very into the southern, in Mexico and New Mexico and Texas.
Yeah, Southwest.
They were very into the lifestyle, things that were happening early in the history of America. So they started studying the Alamo, and they found out that there was, like, the buglers that were playing for the Mexican army when they were attacking the Alamo. They were playing a song, and they became very interested in this whole theory around why they were playing that song when they were attacking the Alamo. So the song was written to say to people, if you surrender, you can be accepted, right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to try to say that I know anything about the history of the Alamo. I have read very little on it, but I do know that they fought to the last stand. They fought to the last man, and they lost. And their rally cry after that was, never forget the Alamo. But in some cases in life, we need to win a fight. Sometimes we need to lose. But if we don't surrender, we don't learn anything. Like, I mean, some fights for us personally need to go on. We need to go on and help others. So if we lose the fight and die, we can't learn and we can't go on and we can't help others. If we win the fight and become arrogant, we then change and we don't affect people in positive ways.
Yeah.
But if we surrender and we become accepted, then we can move on. Saying it's the right thing to do all the time. But I wrote that into the book, and it was a total paradigm shift for me to see that that song was able to allow me to write a song, transition in the book where the character, they could die, they could surrender, and they could find acceptance.
Yeah.
And I was hoping that the readers might find that.
Yeah, I love that analogy. David Adamson, the book is called Hellish. Pick it up. Boy, lots of lessons in the middle of that thing, for sure, from start to end. David, thank you.
Yes.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop.
and cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
Hit the road, Jack, and don't come back no more.
No more, no more, no more.
Hit the road, Jack, and don't come back no more.
Now what'd you say?
Hit the road, Jack, and don't come back no more.
All right, we are so lucky to have this next guest joining us. Mark Savard is so incredibly talented. Comedy hypnosis. Right now we wouldn't have him because he would be too busy at Planet Hollywood and be wowing people all over the place with his brand of hypnotics, I'm going to call it. He is incredibly talented. And I realized after I had talked to somebody in his organization that I had seen Mark because I used to live in Vegas. So without further ado, let's introduce him to the masses. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for having me on, Kate.
So we got to start off here. How do you get into this line of work? When you're a kid, do you like to make things disappear? Do you like to make people fall asleep? How do you do it?
Well, it's not something that you go to the high school counselor and it's one of the choices that they offer you. It's not like that at all. Believe it or not, I was actually trying to get into med school and in college, and then I saw a hypnotist show at the local nightclub, and I was fascinated how someone could use the power of words to modify someone else's behavior. So I really began researching just kind of on my own, for my own curiosity. My friends got wind of it. And they said, hey, why don't you hypnotize us? So being in college with a whole bunch of college friends, the answer to that was absolutely. And I hypnotized them, and sure enough, it worked. And then here I am 26 years later and still haven't chosen it as a career. It's kind of happened to me.
So after 26 years, I mean, you've been in front of thousands and thousands of people. You've been on the tube all over the place, on all the big networks, all of that. And as I watch you and I remember seeing you, I think people, a lot of people, want to double dog dare you. Like, oh, yeah, this guy, you have some of those, what I call them, arm folders. No way is this happening to me. Do you love those challenges?
Well, there's something to be said about that in order to be hypnotized, it's not something that I can do against your will. So you have to be a willing participant. So anyone who crosses their arms and says, oh, you just try to hypnotize me, I bet you can't. They're usually right, because it has to be, you know, hypnosis is an internal process. They have to follow along with the instructions I'm giving them, and then they can easily enter hypnosis at that point. That doesn't mean that someone who isn't sort of afraid of hypnosis by saying, oh, I don't want you to hypnotize me, or you can't hypnotize me, is their way of saying, I'm actually afraid that you might be able to hypnotize me. And there's a slight difference in the two. And someone who is, what I'm mentioning, the latter, of course, can be hypnotized, and I love it when they participate on stage and they never thought they could be, and they end up being the star of the show.
Yeah, I've seen that before. So your first break, that's always the best, right? What was your first big break?
Well, I actually got a hockey team wanted me to perform for their year-end party, and they called me and they said, hey, do you want to do a show for us? And I'm like, well, I don't really do shows. And I'm like, no, just the way you do with your, you know, because, well, I said, how'd you hear about us? Well, there's a friend of a cousin's of a former roommate that was at your apartment when you were doing some hypnosis, and we want you just to do that. So I charged them $150, and I drove 5 hours one way to the place where that they were located, did the show, drove 5 hours back, and it was a huge success. And that first year, while I was going to college, I did 6 shows. The next year, 52. The year after that, 115. And then I called my parents and said, hey, I'm quitting college. I'm not going to be a doctor. I'm going to be an entertainer. And obviously, they were not pleased with this news. But now, 26 years later, they're my biggest fans. So it all worked out.
There you go. I love that. They're your biggest fans. All right, so tell us about the comedy part of that, because that's unusual. You know, people use hypnosis in different ways. I don't have to tell you that, but I love the fact that comedy is mixed into this.
Well, I mean, there's two types of hypnosis, really. There's the hypnotherapy side, you know, sports performance, peak performance, or stop smoking, or weight loss, or, you know, any type of therapy that involves the mind and human behavior. The other side of it is like a public demonstration of hypnotic phenomenon mixed in with the comedy or even just a, you know, like I say, some kind of demonstration. And in order for hypnotherapy to have survived or to have grown to what it is now, public demonstrations of hypnosis needed to happen. Performers, stage hypnotists basically paved the way for hypnotherapy to exist. So they kind of do work really hand in hand. And ironically enough, I actually do both.
Wow. I mean, it's fascinating. And you've done a lot of different things in your career. One of the things that you've done is you have performed on cruise ships, and we see what's happening to the cruise industry. What was it like for you performing on cruises? And we certainly know that other viruses and things have happened on cruise ships.
Well, I mean, as far as the performance aspect of it, you know, it's such a great place to perform because people are, you know, for better lack of terms, trapped in confined in one spot. So they all come to the shows. They all want to be entertained, and the crowds are fantastic, and the shows are great, and it is a whole lot of fun. But you're also, you know, as you mentioned, with the, you know, the viruses that are traveling around, you're also confined, and you're emotionally in a different headspace. Unlike Vegas, for example, if something were to happen in Vegas, when we're performing and there's shows up and down the strip and a virus breaks out, you can leave town. You just get in your car and you go home. Well, that can't happen on a cruise ship. You are confined to the spot until the next time you can port. So there's a whole different mentality of what happens when these types of breakouts, you know, as far as viruses are concerned. You know, it really does kind of affect the human psyche a lot more than there's a freedom that's sort of lost is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so for you, you're there in Vegas, and it's your home. And what is it like to live with, like all of us, this uncertainty, but to see the, and I was a Vegas person, to see the strip just bare, just dark, and people not working?
A few days ago, I actually drove up and down the strip and shot a video of it and put it on my YouTube channel. And it is almost eerie. Unlike, I mean, a lot like other cities in this country, you know, they're all ghost towns right now. There's nobody on the streets. But Vegas, it's very strange because at any hour of any day, there was always people. You could drive at 8 p.m., midnight, even 4 a.m. There's still bumper-to-bumper traffic and people walking up and down the strip. They don't exist anymore. They're gone. And it is such an eerie feeling. I would have never in a million years thought that. I didn't even know the casinos actually had door locks on them because they never lock the doors. They're open 24 hours from the time they're open until the time they demolish the building to replace it with a new one. So it is really mind-boggling to see that this would happen. And it's funny because as a performer, you know, you always think to yourself, well, what happens if the casino gets sold or the theater gets closed or I lose my show? Well, I can go back to touring or I can go perform on cruise ships or I can perform in the college circuit or I can perform at fairs and festivals or large venues or medium-sized theaters. But everything turns off at once in this type of a crisis. And it's many people across the country, you know, have the same feeling right now where everything just shuts down. And, it feels emotionally, a little uncertain, and I can understand how, you know, the stress level goes up for people in this type of a scenario, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, so promise me next time that I come to Vegas, because all of this eventually is going to go away, and it's going to be like a dream, a sad dream, and then we move on, and we'll be neutralized from it. Promise me you'll show me how to hypnotize somebody when I come there.
It's ironic that you ask that because I actually teach classes on hypnosis, and you don't have to be a hypnotist or you don't have to want to be a hypnotist. I teach the general public on how to do hypnosis. I mean, from anybody who wants to learn about their subconscious, how it works with human behavior. So if you have any doubts that I can't teach you how to hypnotize, hypnosis is so easy to learn. I mean, I could teach my 7-year-old how to hypnotize.
Nice.
It is not difficult. It's a scientific process, and that means I can teach you.
All right, so we go to marksavard.com/training, by the way, and you can do it online. That's so cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yep, but we're doing it in person, and we're going to film it, and we're going to pump it out all over the place. He did it! I love it. Mark, thank you so much for hanging with us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Anytime.
All right, so how about that? What would that be like, driving down the strip, and, you know, there it is. It's not the strip that we all know. In fact, the last time I was in Vegas last year, it was so jammed, of course, because now it's bigger, badder, better. And even when I lived there, it was like that. And I liked it. I mean, it was, everybody came to see me. I've talked about this on the air before. Everybody that ever met me came to see me. And to have my mind imagine that is just crazy. But check Mark out. He is so, so talented. Rick Cerrone is coming up next. We're talking a little Yankees and baseball. No opening day. What?
I'm just writing, telling you over.
This is sponsored by Amazon. This holiday season, Amazon is delivering smiles to charities across the country with the help of celebrity partners Gabrielle Union and Ali Raisman. And it's easy for customers to join them in giving back. Kate Scarpa, Amazon spokesperson.
We're proud to support charities that have been impacted by the challenges of this year. And customers can also join us in giving back by shopping through Amazon Smile. By starting at smile.amazon.com, customers can find incredible holiday deals, low prices, and convenient shopping, with the added bonus that Amazon will donate a portion of their purchase. purchase price directly to the charity of their choice at no cost to them.
Customers can also donate items to charities directly at smile.amazon.com/charity lists, where nonprofits create wish lists of the items needed most. Additionally, shoppers can donate to Toys for Tots by saying, "Alexa, donate to Toys for Tots," or make a monetary donation to a charity of their choice by saying, "Alexa, I want to make a donation." Learn more and give back this season at smile.amazon.com.